refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. Civic Media.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Israel is retaliating after a Hamas attack from Gaza. CBS's Bradley Blackburn has the latest.
Overnight Sunday, Israeli forces fought back. Explosions shaking Gaza in the early morning, less than 24 hours after war broke out. There are questions about how Israeli intelligence missed this threat, but the counterattack is underway. Airstrikes took out a 14-story building believed to house Hamas offices, and Israeli army reserves have been mobilized for a renewed conflict that may just be getting started.
Hundreds of Israelis and Palestinians have been killed. Hamas militants also infiltrated into Israel yesterday and took hostages back into Gaza. New York City Mayor Eric Adams still wants to embrace immigrants in New York City, but he says the financial burdens could hurt the city's economy. Reporter Enrique Acevedo spoke with the mayor.
It's not just Latin American migrants, and that the reasons why these migrants are making the very hard decision to leave everything behind is also complex, not just economic opportunity or violence, but bad governance, climate change, and a post-pandemic reality in the region.
More than 450,000 people have gone on strike this year seeking higher pay and other benefits. CBS's Elise Preston has the story.
The workers are among the millions of Americans feeling the sting of inflation. The surprisingly strong U.S. jobs report, with 336,000 added to payrolls, could lead the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates again next month.
Higher interest rates are designed to reduce demand in the economy so that inflation comes down and we can get prices back under control.
Borrowing money is more expensive, with mortgage rates nearing 8% and interest for a credit card soaring to 22%.
Auto workers remain on strike. UAW President Sean Fain addressed union members in Chicago.
They said they didn't have to negotiate over electric vehicle battery plants. And when we launched our stand-up strike, we've outsmarted, we've outorganized corporate America, and won a future for tens of thousands of workers.
The UAW has been on strike across multiple states since mid-September. Searching for survivors after a devastating 6.3 magnitude earthquake in Afghanistan. The death toll from that quake has risen to more than 2,000. It destroyed six villages. Hundreds of civilians are missing and believed to be trapped underneath the rubble. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Beck. Wisconsin's population is getting older. The AARP ranks Wisconsin 15th of the nation for long-term care services, but advocates see room for improvement. Mike Mohn reports.
Jim Flaherty with AARP Wisconsin agrees the state has done a better job in some areas, such as increasing the number of aging and disability resource centers. But he says there still isn't enough support to help older residents stay in their homes and receiving care in that setting. He warns that the state is going to have a hard time keeping up.
Wisconsin is getting older as a state, and the need for more home health care workers and facility-trained health care workers is only going to increase.
The national report offers recommendations, including some that have been suggested for years, such as providing more financial support to unpaid family caregivers. Officials say policies like tax credits can help reduce cost burdens. States, counties, and cities also are encouraged to develop their own innovative aging plans that can help communities better manage long-term care needs. And while advocates prefer to help older residents remain in their homes, they say nursing homes continue to grapple with staffing shortages. Flaherty says low wages are a big factor.
Wisconsin could really benefit from some additional resources provided by the state to increase the pay for some of the workers in these facilities. You know, the pay is below level of a lot of other jobs that these folks can take.
The report says in Wisconsin, nursing home wages are more than $1.50 an hour lower than other entry-level jobs. Nationally, more than a half of staff in nursing homes leave their jobs within a year. However, the turnover rate is better in Wisconsin. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
October 7th, 2023. It is 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. It's time for This Week in Waukesha. I am your host, downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the WAUK Radio Studios, WAUK Radio Studios, here in the old NAMI building, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Right around the corner from Theodora Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And the legacy of Theodora Yeoman's lives through this morning's guest, who, like Theodora, is very involved in voting and is an alumnus of Carroll University.
Yes.
Please welcome, we're proud to welcome, Kristen Hansen of the Fair Election Center. Did I get that right?
You did get that right. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Great to
you
see
you
again.
You know that we're friends because I'm here at 8 o'clock in the morning on
she
a Saturday.
Came right. That's yep. Yeah. So, and Anya's nodding her head. Yes. Welcome our faithful engineer, Anya, who we hope will be contributing to this discussion. And Anya's getting some more airtime, too, on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Chris. Oh, nice.
If you know where, yeah, if you're aware of that.
I so do.
She's doing a great job with that.
Maggie Dawn's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and before we start our discussion, though, we did want to announce, as many of you know, that this Monday, October 9th, the Waukesha Water Utility will start the transition to Lake Michigan Water. Again, that is this Monday, October 9th. Now, again, it's not going to happen right away. 90% of what they call the customers, I would believe that's us residents and business property owners, will probably have water. Let's see, within the first like few days. If you live southeast of the Fox River, which I think is most of us, you will probably have your water between days 1 through 3. If you live northwest of the Fox River, you will probably you'll have it within days 3 to 5. Now, if you're that small percentage of people that where is it? Oh, if you live on a dead end, a cul-de-sac or a court, it could take 3 to 4 weeks before you get the water because the utility will have to open up the fire hydrants to pull the water up to the end of the street. So stay tuned. Any day now or any moment, you'll be drinking clean, sustainable water out of your taps and really can't wait for that. So, and going back to our suffragette city and the suffragette heritage, in the last presidential election, 66%, three quarters of eligible voters nationally participated again in that last presidential election in 2020. That was a record high. But really, what about the remaining 34%?
That's a good question.
And that's what Vicky's here to address.
Kristen.
We
were talking
about
someone.
We're getting a friend. Yeah, sorry about that. Kristen, yes. So
Vicky's my aunt. She's not here.
That's right. Yeah. Aunt Vicky. So, well, hello, Kristen. Sorry about that. I wanted to see if you were awake. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's, you know, 66% nationwide is a number, but you really need to look, you know, at each individual state. And Wisconsin, I'm glad to say, has actually a higher voting rate than that. We do pretty well here. I think it was 72% the last election. Don't quote me on that necessarily, but it was definitely higher than the national average. And in Waukesha, Waukesha County has very high voting rates, like 85% or something like that.
Okay.
And so does Dane County. Milwaukee is lagging, but they're working on it. So in general, Wisconsin has a proud heritage of being a voting state, which is great. And maybe it started with Theodora. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. That is good to know. And so tell us about the work you're doing with getting people to vote.
So the Fair Elections Center is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization based in Washington, D.C. But we have staff all around the country, including me here in Wisconsin. And it's essentially two halves of the organization. The Fair Elections Center has a whole team of voting lawyers, lawyers who do litigation only related to voting. And right now we do have a case in Wisconsin where we're trying to get them to clarify when you use an absentee ballot, you know, you have to have a witness signature, and yet that witness needs to put their address on the envelope. There is some confusion about what constitutes an address. We don't think there should be, because it says right in the statute, it's the street address in the municipality.
Sure.
But some people are saying it's got to include, you know, the street number, the street name, the municipality name, and the zip code. And if it doesn't have all of those things, the ballot should be thrown out. That's extreme.
Right.
Right? Because if I say I live at 123 Main Street, Waukesha. Right. Is that not enough information to verify who I am? Of course it is.
Yeah.
So there is a case going on about that. And then we have other cases throughout the country about the disenfranchisement of people who have previously had felony convictions. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Citizenship tests. There has been, they're talking about something in Wisconsin here that might say, that when you use, when you vote, the city clerk is required to check your citizenship by comparing your information to that of the Department of Transportation, which of course makes no sense, because you don't have to be you don't have to have a driver's license to be a citizen in this country, or vice versa. So there's a lot of things out there that need to be clarified by those attorneys.
Sure.
So that's one side. And then the other side is the primary work I do, which is through the Campus Vote Project, which is an organization that works with college campuses of all kinds.
Right.
Completely nonpartisan. We never talk about the candidates.
Good.
Other than informationally. But we do make sure that students know how to vote. They know how to register to vote.
Sure.
And that any barriers there are to them actually registering and voting are broken down.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's great.
So now, when we spoke about this before, Waukesha has an excellent election process.
Yes.
Thanks to our city clerk, Gina.
She's and her fantastic. Team, yes.
And did a great job as acting city administrator.
Good.
And, you know, when I'd go to vote here in Waukesha, and I voted in two different polling places, you know, because of the redistricting, now I get to go to City Hall. But they have my information on file. All I have to show them is my driver's license. And I know that there's been some issues about that. It used to be you could just show, you know, a lease or a utility bill or something. But don't they have that information already? The zip code, the municipality, the whole. I mean, they know what ward I'm in.
They know all of that. The question is, does they want to make sure that if you vote absentee.
Okay. Oh, that you fill out all the information.
Right. That your witness is a real person and you didn't just make up a name, sign it on the line. So they need to be able to potentially, I suppose, they don't do this for every single person, but potentially they need to be able to prove that person is real.
Okay.
So the question is, if it asks for an address, what is an address?
Yeah.
And if somebody says, that's the question. It's kind of like one of those weird things, like define what the word is means.
So do witnesses have to take a test now? Is that what some are advocating? You know, like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Have you ever taken one of those election tests that they used to give in the Deep South back in the Jim Crow days?
The ones about how many bubbles are in a bar of soap and that kind of nonsense.
I think it was worse than that. Like the average educated voter would barely pass that, if at all.
Well, one of the things we talk about all the time is that if you had to pass the same test to maintain your citizenship as new citizens do when they're, you'd never pass, half people wouldn't pass it.
Sure.
So yeah, that's a whole other thing. Civics education in this country is a major issue. We've gotten too far away from it in the schools. I mean, you and I aren't exactly one foot in the grave. And I'm still, when I went to high school, we did quite a bit of work on how the government works and what civics, and I just don't think the students are getting that education anymore.
I remember my eighth grade social studies class with Dr. Dennis Igo. He'd just come back from sabbatical, just got his PhD. Was a speech writer for our Congressman Jack Kemp. And one of his assignments was you had to rewrite. You had to basically copy all the amendments of the Constitution, like word for word. Just so you had a working knowledge of it. Yeah, it in your head. And you had to submit it.
Yeah.
And he would review just to make sure no one was cutting corners. And you had a thorough understanding of that. But one thing I would learn later on, a couple years later, that I guess should have been ingrained in me earlier, is that part of the concept of we are all being equal is that one franchise, your right to vote. And that that's what makes the most humble or the lowest level person of society
equal to
the president of the United States or the most wealthy CEO is this one franchise, this right to vote.
Well, and this is why there are so many.
It's a God-given right.
This is why there are so many law firms, including these public interest firms like Law Forward and the Fair Election Center and the Elias, there's a bunch of them. That's why there's so many firms dedicated to voting rights.
Okay.
Because it is the one thing that should be available to everyone who's a citizen.
Sure.
Now, do we take away your right to vote while you're in prison serving a felony? Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Not every state, but most of them do.
Sure.
But when you get out and you're back in society, you should be able to vote again because these are the people who are controlling your lives and you should have some say in who they are.
Sure.
Which is, by the way, one of the things that we're going to be talking about spring elections. The judgeships that are up in the spring are almost always uncontested. And that's a real shame.
We need to get more people involved.
We need more people involved. And we need more people caring about who these judges are because that is the one person who can literally take your liberty away.
Yeah.
Is a judge who can control your life. You should care about who that person is.
Yep. Absolutely. So in the 2 minutes we have before the first break, one little bit of news item here. Congratulations to the Waukesha North-South Fusion, who swept Waukesha West in three sets last Wednesday night at Waukesha South High School. The worst they can achieve is a tie for the Classic 8 Conference Championship. If they win against Catholic Memorial next Wednesday, they will win the toughest conference in the state outright. The record is currently 23-5. 5-0 in the Classic 8. Again, the toughest conference in the state for volleyball. I love saying that. Undefeated in the Classic 8.
Woohoo.
Go North-South Fusion. And congratulations again to Joe Bansky. He was a guest on the show last July, and we really look forward to having him on again, hopefully with more great tidings to share. May have to fit the whole team here into the studio.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And congratulations to the Waukesha South Blackshirts football team that, in spite of last night's 37-13 loss, played their last game in the Classic 8 at Arrowhead. Yes, they do play Waukesha North at home next week, and it is a conference game. But North will be joining South in the Parkland Conference next year. So we encourage everyone to check that out. So
you worked hard on that.
I did. Thank
you. Good for you. Yes, that is a real success, a community leadership kind of thing.
Thank you. And thanks to Civic Media, too. Kristen Bry was involved as well in that effort. And when we come back from the break, too, Brittany Merlos, Civic Media's meteorologist, will be calling in to talk about this crazy weather we've been having and give us some forecast for the winter. So don't go away as This Week in Waukesha continues with my guest, Kristen Hansen.
Give it up.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
It seems that from the start,
oh, it's Cole Gallagher.
We were stumbling.
Hey, welcome back. This week in Waukesha with Don Brown and my host, Kristen Hansen. And you're listening to Cole Gallagher. What's the name of the song again, Anya?
This is Stumbling in the Dark.
Stumbling in the Dark. Cole
that
Gallagher.
That was me up this morning at 6 a.m.
Who has, you and me both. Cole Gallagher has strong Waukesha roots. Grandmother was from here and would love to come back here and play in Guitar Town USA. And has also expressed interest in being a call-in guest on one of my shows. So we hope to have Cole and on very soon. Really looking forward to it. Really excited about this young man's success. And do we have a caller, Anya? Is this Mary Jane? Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Mary Jane. Are you still in Europe?
Yes. Well, first of all, Dobry den, which is good morning in Czech.
In Czech,
did
okay.
I say that right? Yes.
Are you in Prague?
I'm in Prague. I'm in the
wow.
Czech Republic.
Very cool.
And we went to several churches early this morning.
Wow.
And had some very good food in the market square. But right now we are in the Jewish neighborhood.
Neat.
And Don, you are such a historian, and you know so much about, you know, how the Jewish
sure.
were persecuted and all the, mm-hmm. you know, both in Italy and in Prague.
Right.
And how they were bottled up in neighborhoods with
sure.
gates.
Sure.
And they couldn't go in or go out. So, but the area is beautiful. We're right now kind of in the heart of the brand area.
Okay.
You know, where all the quality Gucci's and things are.
Sure, sure.
But yes, I just wanted to, call in, let you know that I was thinking about Waukesha.
All right.
You know, as you know, I love my Waukesha.
Sure.
So, well, but we exploring the world is something definitely I've been wanting
sure,
to do for a while.
Sure.
And so I had a free moment to do that.
So Mary Jane, since you left,
things,
good. Since you left, the weather like jumped to like 90 degrees last week. And
here as well, we,
and then
we
it
were in
dropped yesterday.
Shorts,
now it's like, now it's like 40 degrees. I know you're going by Celsius there, so I'll leave it to you to do the math, but is it cooler there now? Like it is here?
It as of today. Yeah.
Okay.
So it started in Italy, and we're now in Prague, so we're north. So I think it's 56 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's
here.
Awesome. Cool. And when are you coming
no,
home?
No, it's a little bit warmer.
Okay.
Not for another week and a half.
Another week and a half. Sounds great.
But I do – go ahead, walk up for a minute. I'll be right there. I did want to mention to you that the people that we're staying with, they definitely told me about all the the Ukrainians that are here in the Czech Republic
sure.
and how they've really put laws down to help them and schooling
good.
And everybody's helping them
good.
And that it, how important it is
sure.
That and they're so proud of the Americans for helping as well.
Thanks for sharing that.
We cannot
Yes, we have to really help those people that are not able to always help themselves. So
love to hear that. Terrific.
Yes.
Sounds great.
But I did want to call in and just let you know.
Yeah, thanks for the update.
I was thinking about you guys.
Appreciate that.
Sure. I will share more when I get back to town.
That sounds great. Thanks so much for the call, Mary Jane. Enjoy the rest of your trip and safe travels and many blessings.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye for
Kristen,
now.
Bye, Don.
Bye.
See ya. So Mary Jane Sanchez, all the way from Prague. And
that's cool.
Of course, you know, she mentioned being in the Jewish neighborhood, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention what was going on in Israel. And our hearts certainly go out to all the people there, especially the civilians.
Yeah,
and,
it's bad.
It really is. So keeping them as well as the Ukrainians and anyone in these war-torn situations around the world very much in our hearts.
On the way here, I heard a news report to try to put it into context that at the time there had been about 20 casualties, Israeli citizens who were killed. But in context of population, that would be like 1,000 Americans just in a matter of hours.
Sure,
so it's bad.
Yeah, that really. Yeah. Wow. That's staggering. And so do we have Brittany on hold yet, Anya? Oh, great. Let's have Brittany call in here. Good morning, Brittany. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We sure can. Thanks so much for joining us. Say hello to Kristen Hansen of the Fair Election Center.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. So, you know, crazy weather. You know, last week it was like, I was glad I was indoors on a Saturday broadcasting a game because it was sweltering hot. It was like, like a really...
Isn't that wild?
It felt like, like you were in the middle of Florida in June or July. And then yesterday morning I go out to walk my dog or to let my dog out and I'm in shorts and like, holy cow. And then, and so it's now this weather's expected for, you know, this time of year, what we're going through now. But gosh, a week ago. And so, yeah, just wanted to, your insights on where we're trending compared to other years and what our winter looks like.
Sure. You want to talk about this wild Wisconsin weather. That's what I've coined it.
For four seasons in a day.
I always, right? It's like, you don't like the weather right now. Just wait one day and it'll change.
Yeah, it sure will.
But my goodness. Seriously, so we were breaking records just last week. I mean, on the 3rd, we hit a high of 85 degrees, went down in history for that. I mean, the days before, we were hitting 84. Like you mentioned, it felt like the tropics. I was in the Dells in like a swim out pool outside. It was just, it was the wildest thing. But
sure,
I mean,
sure.
We got lucky because we had two systems set up. So basically, we had a big dominating high pressure off on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we had a low pressure hanging out in the Dakotas. And what that did is just surged in all the warmth from the south. All the winds aligned to really gust out of the south and warm us up those few days. And it's not uncommon, like you mentioned. We do get 80s on occasion in October, but it's on the rare side of things.
It sure
so
is.
Now, I just call this like, it's the tug of war of summer and winter. That's what fall usually is.
Yes.
They battle it out. We're going to start to get those strong, gusty gales of November soon. It's the same story of the cold air being stuck up north and the hot air south, but we're starting to see an El Nino pattern set up.
Sure.
So what that means is basically the sea temperatures off in the Pacific Ocean are warmer and it stops the winds, which what it does for us is it changes our jet stream.
Sure.
It keeps the colder air further north
and then
the warmer air further south.
We're about to cut to a break. Can you stick around after, because we want to hear what kind of winter we're having, if that's okay.
Yeah,
sounds
absolutely.
Great. Yeah, have some more coffee, and everyone stick around. More from Brittany Merlot and my guest Kristen Hansen here in This Week in Waukesha. Do not go away.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. On day two of its war with Hamas, dozens of Israeli civilians and soldiers remain in the hands of Palestinian militants who stormed into Israel from Gaza. Lieutenant Colonel Richard Hecht says while there's a lot of heartbreak in Israel, there's also resolve.
I'm getting phone calls and messages from people in my neighborhood that their son is somewhere and they haven't heard from him, but we're fighting. fighting strong.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams making an appeal for more migrants arriving in the United States to get legal work permits.
When you look at Colombia, they have really showed how to absorb individuals into their society. One of the most important ways to do it is to allow people to work.
American households are feeling the pinch.
Even though household costs aren't going up as fast as they had been, they're still a lot higher than they were just 2 or 3 years ago, and the income hasn't kept up.
That's Greg McBride with Bankrate.com. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-Lakepoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How'd they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I've been thinking about the news. Daddy leaves it on all day through.
Hey, we're back. This is Waukesha. And you're listening to one of my favorite young folk musicians, Ray Zaragoza. And The American Dream, is that the name of the song on you? Yep. And she just performed in Madison recently, so I got a kind of a grievance against our friends at Civic Media Madison that nobody covered that or had her on the show. I think she's a brilliant young artist, and big oversight. Only joking. They do a lot of wonderful things, but I've become a huge fan of Ray Zaragoza, so I got to give my friends at Madison a hard time. But one person I will not give a hard time to because she's been so kind holding on the phone is our Civic Media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, thanks again for holding. Hope you had a couple sips of coffee in there during the break.
I did, and thanks for being so kind. Usually people want to give me all the rage as the weather person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to take their anger out on me.
Yeah, we were just talking about during the break. Goodness. A friend of mine, he'd come into the radio station in college to drop something off, and the DJ would make him do the crop report so that the farmers wouldn't call in and yell, because you can't yell at a student for you know, for bad forecast. So, Brittany, tell us, what kind of winter are we going to have?
Awesome. All right. So the National Weather Service, right, just released their winter outlook. And with the El Nino going on, they think it's going to shift the jet streams enough to give us a warmer than average winter and a less snowier winter as well.
That sounds great.
Now, here's the thing.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. Before you get too excited.
What?
We're still going to get our cold snaps. I mean, we're in Wisconsin. We're still going to get our snow. It's only going to be a couple inches less than our average snowfall. Okay. And here's the thing. When our temperatures are technically above average, warmer for the winter, they're really affecting our average low temperature while we're sleeping, and we don't really notice it anyways.
Right. Yes.
And then, of course, if we are a tad bit warmer, here's another catch-22. That means that if it snows, the snow is going to be thicker, a.k.a. pile up more.
Oh, yeah.
That's more how moisture,
get you.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get less snow events, but the events might be a little bit more accumulation within them when they do hit us.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll probably have a lot more long stretch, you know, milder parts of winter, but we can't avoid the cold snaps.
Yeah.
That's going to happen regardless. So it's going to be the average typical Wisconsin winter, just a little bit warmer and a little bit less snowfall.
Sure.
I'll still take it.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Still better than a ton of snow and really, really cold.
Very, very bright forecast on this sunny autumn day. So terrific.
Yes.
Well, Brittany,
you guys staying warm over there? The new cold snap that just clicked in?
We're staying warm. Good. We got the fall clothing on. I'm wearing corduroy pants, which I haven't worn. I'm so glad that they've come back, or I've brought them back.
Right.
So yeah, so very excited.
I busted out the sweater yesterday.
There you go.
Yeah, me too.
Bonfire weather, you know.
Who doesn't love sweater weather? You know. So especially when like I said, you can start a bonfire, or you know, have like a hot cup of a mug of like cider or coffee while you take your morning walk.
I'll do a sweater. It's so, when I have to bust out the like super thick, heavy winter wool coat.
Cover
that
your
I get
face
crabby.
And everything. Yeah, that's when it gets rough. So, but it doesn't sound like we'll have too
layers,
much of that this winter.
Window.
You know, fingers crossed. So, terrific.
Well, shouldn't be too bad. I mean, we just came off the warmest September ever on record for the world.
That's true. That sure is.
Yikes.
So. Terrific. Well, Brittany, thanks so much for your gift of time this morning. We'll let you get on to what I'm sure will be a very active day for you. And we hope to have you on soon. Maybe one of these days in person, we'll have you down here in the Shaw.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I'd love to. Thank you, guys.
That's great. Thanks again. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist extraordinaire.
Yay.
Bye for now. So that leads us to our next element in the segment. Anya, if you want to cue the marching band, it's time for... the Carol Minute drum roll. Yeah, Kristen's got the drum roll. So, and I actually got a text in here from okay, it's time for the Carol Minute. And a couple quick announcements. Congratulations to Jacob Laurent, the kicker for Carroll, for being named CCIW Special Team Student Athlete of the Week for last week. And Josh Raby, the week before, was Student Athlete Quarterback. But in this past week, Jacob Laurent was, I believe, 4-for-5 on field goals, or 3-for-4, including his career-long 44 yards. And he's close to having the scoring record, too. He's on his way to that, or at least for field goals. And so congrats to him. And Carroll's got a big game against number one North Central today. We'll be covering that later. Tune us in at 5:30. And real quick, Anya, sorry to do this over the air, but I got a message here saying that on the stream, it's playing the Empowered Caregiver Show. And there's dead air on 101.1. So hopefully, if you're listening to the app, you're in good shape. And 5:40 a.m. So... hate to report that, but it's a must. So also during the Carol Minute, we want to mention that tonight on campus, it's casino night. So Pioneers can come and enjoy that. Students can win cash and prizes courtesy of the Campus Activities Board. Starts at 7 in the ballroom. I believe that's the Stackner Ballroom. And then the marching band will be performing at the Band Fest in Maguanago. And next weekend is Carol's homecoming and also family weekend. So people can register for homecoming events such as a 5K run in various tailgate parties at the Carroll University website. So thanks for sharing that, Triple G, Greg Wanschneider, and hopefully he'll be joining us as our third chair for the homecoming game against Elmhurst next week.
Nice.
So, and Kristen Hansen is not only a Carroll alumnus,
yes,
but a spouse of a Carroll faculty member. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. My husband teaches computational thinking at Carroll University.
Fantastic.
Which used to be called statistics.
Right.
And they, like, I'm so old. We met, they were still teaching statistics with, like, a paper and a pencil. But now it's all on computer, and they use Excel, and they use computer programming. He teaches HTML. Because that's the way we work now. Nobody's going to get a job and they're going to hand you a pad of paper and a pen and say, here, do statistics. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things have changed. He's a meteorologist by training, actually. So I can feel Brittany's pain when she says people usually yell at me. He gets very prickly when people talk about, you know, the weatherman was wrong, blah, blah, blah. They're actually quite accurate, especially nowadays. But anyway, yes, I went to Carroll. Got a degree in philosophy, politics, and economics.
Fantastic.
Which is something they brought over kind of, it's very common in at Oxford in England. And one of the professors, Kevin Guilfoy, brought it over to Carroll, and it's fantastic.
Oh, neat.
And Carroll, and then one of our attorneys at the Fair Election Center is a Carroll alum. One of my employees worked for me last year is a Carroll alum. So, yeah, we're a proud Carroll household.
I love that. And then you just gave a presentation to a Carroll class recently about voting and registration.
I did. And, you know, it's really interesting. And my message to the students is the same to your listeners, which is if this is all confusing and you feel like you don't know what's going on with elections, you're not alone. It's, you know, even just talking about, I'm sure we're going to talk about the spring elections. It's different in every community. Mm-hmm. And so it's there's a lot to understand. And as we get further and further away from everybody reading the same newspaper every day, it's hard to actually find that information until right before the election, when you can go and look at your ballot on myvote.wi.gov. But until then, you know, it is kind of difficult to figure out, what am I going to be voting for in my community in the spring? And is that a position I might want to run for myself?
Or sure.
There's just, it's a lot. In Wisconsin, our elections are incredibly decentralized. Most states, the county clerk runs the elections. Here, every single separate municipal clerk runs her elections. So that means we have, I think the number is something like 1,800 clerks who are running elections in separate municipalities, and it's all very different. So good things about that. One of the good things about that is it makes our elections very secure here. Yeah. Because it would be pretty hard to hack 1,800 separate election systems.
Sure. Yep. And, you know, I'm going to sound like a broken record because I've mentioned this on plenty of other shows that in their last aldermanic election, there were six seats to be contested, and only one of them was contested. Mm-hmm. And what are you saying to people, young people, but really people of all ages, to encourage them to run for local office or other ways to participate in local politics?
We did talk about this actually at Carroll on Thursday. And I said, you know, for the most part, any of these municipal positions are not full-time jobs. You do get paid a little bit something, but you have your own career. You have your family. You have all your stuff. It's just something you do to serve the community and be a leader. So you don't... And there's you, so you don't need to like give up what you're doing. This is not a change in career. It's whatever you do during the day, and all of that knowledge that you gain as just a regular citizen, working Joe who wants to serve his community, or her, or working Jane who wants to serve her community, is something you can do, you know, as an alderman, as a village trustee, wherever you live. What the village of Waukesha has two positions up in the spring. Mm. So if you live in the village of Waukesha and you're thinking, you know, I think I know enough about this community that I could be a real asset to local government. Think about running for election. Yeah. There's lots of places you can go to get, you know, real training if you want to do it that way.
And what I loved about my time in the council is it was nonpartisan.
Yes. All of the local elections are nonpartisan positions in the spring.
And all party politics take a backseat to a lot of common sense issues.
Yeah.
Like,
and if you're thinking about the big divisive issues that we're dealing with nationwide, that's not what you're doing on a local level.
No.
You really are trying to do. It really is. What are your neighbors caring about? You know, it, literally, like, do we need a stop sign? What's going on with the roads? Do we need... you know, more ordinances or less ordinances, and what, you know, it's very, very local stuff, which is the stuff that affects people in their day-to-day lives most often. So you can actually make an incredible impact by serving on your local municipal boards.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said. Well said. And, you know, speaking of service too, I've been getting quite a few calls from Larry Nelson, county supervisor and a former mayor. And Larry and his wife are involved in a wonderful organization here in downtown called Plowshares, which in case you didn't know, it's a nonprofit retail store here on Main Street for it's a fair trade marketplace and an education for peace. They're hosting a virtual fundraiser featuring the documentary Our Water, Our Responsibility. And Plowshare takes a deep dive into issues surrounding water resources in Waukesha, examining challenges and solutions related to water, the most precious resource. Plowshare's fall fundraising documentary will premiere starting on Saturday, November 11th at 8 a.m. at the Plowshare website. And that's Plowshare. Let me get the closer look here. Plowshare, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, M as in Main Street, .org. So check that out. And volunteers contribute hundreds of hours to Plowshare each year. This fall, Plowshare will honor Mark Blackman as their 2023 Sally Joe McCulkel Volunteer of the Year. So
that's nice.
Congratulations to Mark. And so members of Plowshare will also be on This Week in Waukesha the week before, November 4th. At 8 a.m. So we really look forward to having them on. And
Plowshare is my favorite store downtown, probably.
Sounds great.
It's an amazing place to go for Christmas decorations and Christmas shopping. Everything is so unique and just beautifully, you know, a lot of it handmade stuff. Highly recommend.
That sounds great.
I have baskets from Plowshare that I bought like 15 years ago that are still sturdy and standing the test of time.
That's awesome. And, you know, it's now we're thinking holidays and thinking gifts. So, yeah, keep Plowshare in mind. And also, if you're interested in sponsoring the program coming up on November or donating an item gift or gift certificate or experience to be used in their silent auction, contact Plowshare FT Marketplace at gmail.org. That's Plowshare, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, Marketplace at gmail.com. And for more information on the documentary, contact Diane Voigt at Diane Voigt 2014 at gmail.com. So we have less than a minute before the break, but we have more to talk with Kristen Hansen about our right to vote and how we should take advantage of that and how we should be prepared for and know more about these upcoming elections coming up as this week in Waukesha continues. Do not go away. Get another cup of coffee. Get those eggs going. And we'll see you in just a couple minutes.
And I've been thinking about our mother and how they took her away from her people, put her in a boarding school, away from a brother, sister, and culture. I can hear her every night saying we've gotta make this right, 'cause hate can't be the faith.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, it was Sam's first day flying solo because Aaron said he was going bear hunting. Aaron's not here this morning.
He's
so
not.
It's either Aaron doesn't need to be here or Aaron's been eaten by a bear.
Gosh, I'd sure hope that Aaron hasn't been eaten by a bear.
Well, he's not there. Now I'm just afraid that if we ring up his phone somewhere out there, Mrs. Bear is going to elbow Mr. Bear and go, is your tummy rumbling?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
One world.
And that is Todd Rundgren in Utopia with One World. One of my favorite lines in that song, I've mentioned this before. Politicians and dictators and the guys with the dough, they think they run the world, but they just don't know. Because down here on the streets, we got it under control. From Berlin to San Francisco, from New York to Tokyo. One world. And with my guest, Kristen Hansen of the Fair Election Center, that very much can be true when people take advantage of their franchise to vote.
Absolutely. We were just talking about this, like, as I said, with some students at Carroll University, especially these spring races. I cannot say this often enough. They are so close. They are, and they were not talking about a heavy lift to run for office. And when you're voting, these races, and you know, as a former alderman, they're decided by a handful of votes.
They really are.
So if you want to really feel like your one vote makes a difference, vote in spring elections for your local races, because it truly is a tiny amount of votes that can make the difference. So,
no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. And
yeah.
This is someone who lost my first election by 12 votes.
There you go. There you go.
And I remember I was eventually appointed and then won outright in an election a year later. But I remember my first year serving, there was a referendum that I supported about a resolution that should the state have fair elections or a fair elections committee to determine reasonable. And election judges showed up for that, and some were from my precinct that remember telling me that, gosh, I wish there was something I could do, but you can't because there's rules to follow. You know, like Jewish Joe, like, you know, you can't just make 13 votes go away, or some people say,
right,
come up with 15 more votes, find them somewhere.
Could you find me?
This thing's rigged, yeah. So there is a lot of integrity. And again, I learned that the hard way. There's a lot of integrity in our local election processes. And
agreed.
So vote. I remember hearing a story in as a kid in school, a teacher told me that this one guy running for mayor lost by one vote and his own wife forgot to vote.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
So
you can lose by five votes and go, wait, which five of my friends did not bother to vote for me?
Exactly. So,
but yeah, we have, so this is in the city of Waukesha. We don't have any aldermanic races in this spring of 24, but Brookfield does. So if you're, any of these listeners are in Brookfield, it's an interesting situation there. They have seven districts in the city of Brookfield, and they have two aldermen for each district. So every cycle, one of those two people is up for election. So you have continuity.
Yeah.
In every district, but that means there are seven seats up next year. So, depending on where you live in Brookfield, that's something that you should consider either running yourself or finding out who is running, who you like, and support their work. And then, of course, the Waukesha School Board has three seats up, and the Elmbrook School Board has two seats up. So there will be actually a lot of activity going on this spring.
Yeah, and here's something else too: is that sometimes you run and maybe you don't have a fair chance. I shouldn't say fair, but you don't have a good chance of winning. The incumbent's very popular. You know, you run to raise issues, to engage with people, to get people to think differently, to challenge that incumbent to think differently. That's part of our process, and that's what makes the process works. And heck, if you generate, you know, more than 20, 30% of the popular vote or more than that, you know, suddenly you've got a little following. You've got people that are willing to listen to you and people that you can engage with and build a bigger base.
Well, not just, you know, listening to you, but listening, period. Because one of the things that sadly has fallen apart is this concept of the two candidates debating each other, or even just having a forum to where they can share their ideas about why they're running and what they'd like to see change or what they'd like to see, you know, stay the same. And we've gotten into this space where nobody wants to debate anymore.
Right.
And so you're not having that exchange of ideas. So I wish that that all of the candidates would take up the invitations by local groups to actually have robust debates. And, you know, we can find ways to do that in a respectful way. And like you say, even if there's an issue that you want to bring up, and have that discussion out in the public for the people to think, yeah, you know, I never really thought about it that way. That might be a good idea. And even if you lose, maybe that becomes an issue that the community wants to hear more about. And who knows, maybe even the person who does win says, well, geez, you know, that was a really important issue. Let me think more about that. Yeah. There's just all of that kind of public sphere discussion that doesn't go on anymore, except one side screaming on the internet and then the other side screaming on the internet, but nobody actually talking together. Sure. So, we've got some. And the local races are the places to start that, because these are your neighbors and your, you know, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, the folks in the next aisle at the grocery store. We should be able to talk to each other about local issues.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And, you know, how should I say it? I got a text message in here. Something about me hosting debates. That sounds
there you
good.
Go. Yeah. There you go. Up. We could do it right here at the studio.
One thing I saw that worked when I lived in Ireland was, how should we say it? Ranked voting, ranked elections, meaning that you rank the candidates first place, second.
Oh, yeah. That is something that is, they're doing that in some cities in the United States.
And talk about a democratic process.
Yes.
It's like you have to get, you can't just get the most first place votes. You got to get a plurality, 50 plus one, or it goes back into a bag and they do it again.
And for the listeners who don't know what that means is that if there are, say, five people running for something, you don't just pick one, you rank them on a scale of 1 to 5. Who is your favorite? Who's your second favorite? Who's your third favorite?
And it's a more arduous process, but the end result is you have someone that most people can live with.
Exactly.
And they turn out to be a more effective legislator. And it also, I think it takes a lot of the money out of the politics.
And that's one of the things we still need to do.
And the marketing and all the nonsense. So,
Perfect.
So we've about a minute and a half left before the show ends. What else do you want people to know about voting?
For the spring elections in particular, I want people to remember that you've got two things on your ballot in the spring. We're going to have the nonpartisan local elections, depending on where you live, that could look very different. But on that same ballot is going to be the partisan primary for president. So when you're voting, especially if you're voting by mail and you want to make sure your ballot doesn't get kicked out, you have to really pay attention to checking only, you know, choosing only one of the candidates for president in one party.
Right.
And then the other stuff, you can choose whoever you want because that's all nonpartisan. The parties are not connected to those races.
Sounds great.
So, and if you're interested in running for office, a really good place to get going is WisconsinProgress.org. They do nonpartisan trainings and they have a bunch of virtual trainings actually coming up in the next few weeks.
Sounds
so if you
great.
Go to WisconsinProgress.org, you can learn about running for office yourself.
Sounds great. All right. Kristen Hansen of the Fair Election Center, thanks for joining us. Tune in later today at 5:30 when the pregame starts for Carroll University at North Central.
Go Carroll.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And see ya!
Hi,
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.